everything that they've done. One more time, let's just put our hands together and let all of them know that we so appreciate what they do. And so we're glad to be here today. We're glad that you're here with us. And so we are back online. Praise the Lord. We're back with live stream. And so we're excited about that. And so today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 4. So if you got your Bible, you got your phone, your iPad, whatever you use to read the Word of God, Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 today. Then we're going to pray and see what the Lord would challenge us with. Let me just tell you, there is a fly on my podium right here. And I've noticed this in 23 years of preaching. Flies never bother the congregation. They always bother the speaker up here. So if you see me fighting flies, you know what it is. I did take a bath last night, just saying. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 1. Everybody there say a good amen. Amen. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your calling. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Challenge us. You know who's here. You know who showed up today. You know the situations. You know the circumstances that people are facing, Lord. And I pray that you would, Holy Spirit, personalize this message, make it real, make it relevant, and challenge us today. Anoint me to speak your words in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I need to remind you that in this book of Ephesians, that Ephesians is a church that Paul has planted. He is writing this letter to the church. He's writing this letter to people that he loves. He went to the town of Ephesus. He planted this church. He set this church up, and then he set up leaders in that church, and he moved on to start planting other churches. Now, at this point, he is writing a letter back to the church. He's encouraging them. He's challenging them, and we're going to see today that he is pushing them. Paul is writing this letter to people that he loves, to people in the church. And the first thing that he says is this, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you. And I read that and I was like, what does that mean? I urge you. So I looked it up. I looked it up on the dictionary and the dictionary app on my phone. Come on, somebody. And urge means this, to push. It means to push. It means to push. It means to force along, to press someone. Paul was a leader. Paul was a leader of people. He was a leader in the church. He was a leader of the political world in the time that he was living. Paul was a leader, and as a leader, he begins to push people. Can I tell you something right quick? Good leaders always push other people. Good leaders always push other people. We live in this world today where we have this attitude of don't push me. Don't tell me what I should do. Don't tell me where I can do it. Don't push me. Don't push me. And Paul goes, no, you're the church, and I love you. And Paul says, I see the potential in you. And Paul says, you are not reaching the highest levels that God has for you. And Paul says to the church, I'm going to push you. Good leaders push people. Can I say that right quick? Good leaders always push. That's what they do. And I want to take just a moment and let you know. I want you, everybody in here, look at me right now. You're a leader. You're a leader. Breck, you're a leader. Chelsea, you're a leader. Matt, you are a leader. Colt, you are a leader. Jerry, you are a leader. Breckenridge's, you are a leader. Jake, you're a leader. We have to understand that we are leaders. You may not be a leader at the church. You may not lead worship at the church. You may not lead staff meetings. You may not be a pastor, but I want you to know you are a leader because God has placed a calling on your life and you are leading someone. It may just be your spouse. It may be your children. It may be your coworkers. It may be your grandchildren, but there are some people in your life that are looking up to you. They need some direction. They need some courage. They need some inspiration, and they are looking to you, and you are a leader. Boy, that changes stuff. That changes things when I know I'm leading Will, and I'm leading Jesse, and I'm leading Clara, and the way I act is reflected onto them. It matters when we understand that we're leaders. Paul was a leader like you and I, and he pushed people. Good leaders. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about leadership. I mean, you know, we need some leaders in the world we live in nowadays. We don't just need any followers. Everybody's following. Everybody's doing what's politically correct. Everybody's doing what culture says. Everybody's following in line. We need some people to be leaders, to lead people to different levels and lead people differently than culture leads them. Good leaders push people. Good leaders never settle for where they are. Because we know this, that he that began a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Good leaders know that God has picked them up out of the miry clay and set their feet on the rock to stay. But good leaders know the best is yet to come. And we're not going to stop, and we're not going to get comfortable, and we're not going to settle where we are. We're going to keep pushing ourselves and pushing others to get to the greatest thing God has for us. Good leaders never settle, they never get comfortable, and they never coast. Good leaders never let those that are close to them get comfortable and settle and coast either. Good leaders push others. They push others. Paul, he's writing this letter to the church, and he understands that God's best is yet to come. Paul sees the potential in other people. He sees the potential in the church. Can I just say, do you understand the potential that the church has in 2023? Yes, I know we're Bethel. Yes, I know we're in Anson, Texas. Yes, I know we're rural. And yes, I know your preacher is a little bit chicken fried. But can I tell you, there is some darkness in this world, and the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But do you and I understand there is potential inside of us? There is potential to shine the light and to drive back the darkness. Do you and I understand there is potential, and you and I, to lead many people to the bloodstained cross of Jesus Christ? There's potential in you. Maybe nobody's told you that, but I'm telling you, there's potential in you. There's potential in me. Paul saw the potential, and he pushed them. Paul knew that we would all have the tendency to get comfortable and coast. How many know you worked really, really hard to get where you are? Can I hear a good amen? Worked really, really hard to get where you are. But there is this theory, and this theory is called the path of least resistance. We work really hard to get where we are, and then when we get comfortable and lazy and fat and sassy, we will take the path of least resistance. We'll get comfortable. Paul knew. Cody, you'd get comfortable. Paul knew. Matt, you'd coast. Paul knew. So he said, I'm urging you, I'm pushing you, don't stop and don't give up. All the leaders of the Bible that we see, that we love, that we preach about, that we talk about, they push people. Moses pushed people. Elijah pushed people. Jesus pushed people. John the Baptist pushed people. Great leaders push. You know what great pastors do? Great pastors don't just preach the best sermons all the time. And great pastors don't just preach you happy. And great pastors don't just do what you want. You know what really great pastors do? They push you beyond where you are right now. And so, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm just saying, we have a world filled with pastors that want to preach you happy and preach rainbows and Palomino horses and everything's going to be fine, and we don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. We just want to make you feel really good where you are. Praise God, lick your lollipop, shine your cowboy boots, stand up and smile really big because Jesus loves you. We need some pastors that will challenge you, that will challenge you to repent, that will challenge you to push, that will challenge you to quit playing some games. We need some pastors that will preach the word of God and push the church to where they can be the most effective they're called to be. Pastors, friends, leaders, push. Pastors, push. Can I talk to you about fathers and mothers for a minute? Because I mean, you know, family is so important, y'all. We're fixing to kick off a new series come January 1, and it's called Home Sweet Home. And we're going to talk about the value of family. And we're going to talk about the value of our home. We're going to talk about the value of our church home. We're going to talk about that's God's plan. And can I tell you something, fathers? Fathers, you know what fathers do? They push their kids. Fathers push their kids. Mothers nurture their kids. Come on, somebody. Mothers, they're sweet mamas. They nurture, they love, they cuddle, they coddle. Oh, they love you so good, you're so sweet. Fathers push their children. And let me tell you something right quick. In case you're a single mom, in case you're by yourself, I get it. I understand. It's tough. It's a struggle. But I'm going to tell you something, mamas. If you're a single mama, you better push your kids. You better push your sons and you better push your daughters to overcome and to be fighters, because this world is a struggle and the enemy's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And our kids better learn to fight in the home before they go out into the world. We need fathers. Can I tell you something, fathers? You need to fight. You need to push your kids. And I'm not saying be a horse's butt, and I'm not saying that you can't tell them you love them, but fathers, we need to push our sons and daughters. Push them to be men of God. Push them to be women of God. Push them to be family. We need to push our kids. Can I tell you what's wrong with America, in my opinion? We have been over-mothered and under-fathered. We have had too many sons and too many daughters that have been coddled by their mommies and taken care of by their mommies and given everything they want. And you know what? Call it what you want to call it, but look at our culture. We have raised a bunch of soft, sensitive snowflakes that don't know how to fight and go with every wind, wave, and doctrine of the world. We need some fathers to show up in the home. We need some fathers to go work 40 hours a week, but we need some fathers to show up at the supper table. We need some fathers to put their kids in the bed. We need some fathers to coach their sons and daughters along to say, this is a fight, and you better suck up, buck up, and you better be ready to do some battle. We need fathers to push their kids. Mothers, you mother your kids. It's okay. They need that too. They need that balance. Come on, somebody. Leaders push their children to be the best friends. Man, I got about 3 or 4 or 5 real deal friends. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what friends do? They push you to be better. They don't buy into your crap. They don't buy into your junk. They don't buy into your games. Your friends push you to be better. That's what it is. Great leaders push. And here's a side note. Can I give you a side note right quick? If you decide that you're going to be a leader and you decide, you know what, I'm going to push myself. How many of you know you have to learn to push yourself before you can push others? I saw this little deal on Instagram this week, and maybe y'all saw it. If you didn't, look it up. But this little girl is on a playground. She's a little bitty girl. She's 3 or 4 years old, and her daddy is in this tube slide, going to slide down the playground with her. And the daddy is in there first, and you know what she does? She pushes her daddy down the slide. And then she gets in the slide, and you know what she does? She reaches around, and she pushes herself down the slide. Can I tell you? At some point, you got to learn to push yourself. And if you're unwilling to push yourself, then don't expect somebody else to allow you to push them as well. Push yourself. But here's the deal. If we decide I'm going to be a leader, and I'm going to push my kids, and I'm going to push my friends, and I'm going to push the people I go to church with, I'm going to push people, you know what? Listen to me. Be prepared for a little bit of criticism. Because in the world we live in, if you push people too much, they get booty hurt. If you push them too much, if you push staff, if you push friends, if you push family, they get upset and they get booty hurt. Listen to me, I'm just telling you, be prepared for it, because you know what? They're going to say, well, you know what? He's just a hard butt. She's just insensitive. They really don't care. They're just a little bit too much for me right now. They did it to Moses. They did it to Jesus. They did it to John the Baptist. They did it to me, and they're going to do it to you if you start pushing people. But we have to make up our mind. I'm not going to listen to the criticism. I'm going to push. Can I? Oh, Lord Jesus. Can I just say right now, look at our country right now. We have leadership in our country that doesn't push anybody towards God or push anybody towards being better. We just want to be in the middle and make everybody happy and be sensitive to everybody, this group, that group, this group, be inclusive and make not anybody hurt anybody's feelings. And America is falling to hell in a handbasket. How many of you know we need some leaders that will push us to be better and push us towards following the Constitution and push us towards following the Word of God? We all need to be pushed. Can I tell you something? You need to be pushed. You need to be pushed. You need to be pushed, Patricia. Brian, you need to be pushed. You need to be pushed. Alex, you need to be pushed. We need to be pushed to be the best that we can be. Position yourself in a place where you can be pushed. Position yourself in a place where you can be pushed. Paul says, I'm pushing you and I'm challenging you to walk worthy of the calling to which you've been called to do. How many of you know we all have a calling on our life? We have a calling on our life. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God saved us and he called us with a holy calling. You're called. You're called to be a world changer. And Paul says, walk worthy of that. Walk worthy of that. What does it mean to be worthy? It means to be deserving of one's time, of one's attention, and one's effort. This calling that I have, it's worthy. This calling deserves my time. This calling deserves my attention. This calling deserves every bit of my effort. Paul said this, I have been called, and I am a prisoner to the calling that God has placed on my life. Paul said, I'm a prisoner. I'm arrested to. Paul said, I'm shackled to. Paul said, I am bound to this calling. He said, I'm going to give everything that I've got. And here's the question for you and I. Here's the question we have to answer. What are you called to do? What's your calling? What's your calling? Farnsworth, what's your calling? Billy Lamb, what's your calling? Glenn, what's your calling? What are you called to do? And here's the question. If you're called to be a cowboy, if you're called to work for the government, if you're called to be a pastor, if you're called to be a dad, if you're called to be a friend, here's the question that we have to answer. Are we walking worthy of that calling? Are we giving it everything that we've got? Are we doing it with passion and energy? Are we giving everything? Are you treating your calling as it deserves your best? The very best that you've got? So let's talk about this, Cody, for Cody. Just use me for example. What's my calling? What's my calling? Number one, my calling is to be a man of God. To represent God the Father in everything that I do. To be a man of God. To be a man of character. To be a man of integrity. To be a man of honesty. My calling is to shine the light into a dark and dying world. That's my number one calling. What's my second calling? My second calling is to be a husband to Jennifer. Because a man shall leave his wife, leave his father and mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I am called to be a husband. I am called to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I am called to lead her. I am called to be her covering. I am called to be a husband. I'm called to be a man of God. Number one, I'm called. Number two, to be a husband. Number three, I'm called to be a father. Father. Father my sons, to father my daughter, to love them, to give up my will, to give up my way, to give more to them so that they can go and be elevated to different levels than I have. I have been called to be a father. And can I tell you what will change our world when you and I say, I am a prisoner and I am a slave and I am arrested to and I am bound to being a man of God and to being a husband and to being a father. If we gave our best effort to those three things, it would change our world. Because here's the deal. Lastly, I'm called to be a pastor. It's my vocation. It's my calling. It's my job. Many of you are called to different kind of vocations. Can I tell you, look at me. Look at me, man. Look. Your vocation should be number four on the list. Following man of God, following husband, following father, then your vocation should come into play. But here's the problem in America, and here's the problem right now. We are giving everything to number four. We're giving everything to our vocation, to our reputation, to climbing the corporate ladder, to making all this money, and we are allowing the man of God and the husband of God and the father of God to fall by the wayside. Our calling is as men of God and family men first and foremost. That'll change the world. That will change the world. Walk worthy. I wish I had an hour to preach to you. Being a husband is more important and more valuable than you will ever understand. Being a father is the most number one important thing beyond your marriage you can do, is to raise up sons and daughters and teach them the word of God. Vocation follows everything. Let's talk about to you women a minute. Woman of God. Be a woman of God. Be a woman of God. Look at me. Dress like a woman of God. Conduct yourself like a woman of God. Post on social media like a woman of God, like a daughter, like who has been bought, who has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Act like a woman. Talk like a woman. Women, you have been called to be wives. Make that your number one priority. Some of you women have been called out of the home to live in careers and to make money, and that's okay, but that still does not release you the responsibility of being a wife at home and being a helpmeet and being a support to the husband that God has given you. Marriage is so important. Don't forget to be a mama. Don't forget to be a mama. Don't forget to be a mama. Can I tell you what chapped my butt? Can I tell you all that right quick? During the Wuhan 2020, craziest year of our life. Can I hear a good amen? Wuhan flu, China flu, put a mask on your mouth, stay at home. I seen people post all the time. Oh my God. I said, can I just be real? Can I be frank with y'all? I saw a lot of mamas posting on social media. My God, can we please get school started back? These kids are driving me crazy. Seriously? I get it. I understand. But God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and have children. And nowadays in America, when the Wuhan hits and we have to take care and mother our own children for 6 weeks, we're on frazzled, we're full of anxiety, and we don't know how to work because we've been conditioned to the American culture of kick your kids out of the home, let somebody else take care of them 8 hours a day, then show up at church on Sunday morning, send them to children's church. I can only handle a limited time with my kids. Mothers, what you do is so important and so special. Children need you, and they need a mother's love. Some of you, what is your calling? Some of you are called to be a mama. Some of you are called to be a stay-home mom. I'm just saying, my wife stayed at home. My wife homeschooled, and it's always a challenge, and it's always a struggle. Oh, I'm not as good as. Oh, I'm not enough. Oh, I don't make enough money. Oh, I'm just staying home and cooking and taking care of these kids. Can I tell you, if that is your calling, then do it with confidence and do it and say, this is what God has called me to do, and I will not apologize to anybody else. And if God has called you to be a woman of career and a woman to go out in the world and work, that's okay too. Own it, walk in it, live it and love it, and know that it's your calling, and walk worthy of that calling. Walk worthy of the calling that God has given you to do. Walk worthy. We're at church. We have people that sing on the worship team. People that lead worship. People that do stuff. And I say to Connor all the time, if you're called to worship, by golly, then worship with passion and energy. Give it all you've got. If you're called to work on the worship team, then practice your guitar. Come on, somebody. If you're called to be on the worship team and practice starts at 6 o'clock, sorry, get your butt up here at 6 o'clock and be early and don't be late. Do what you do and give it all you got. If you know me, my favorite scripture of all times is Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatsoever you do, homeschool, stay-at-home mom, cowboy, engineer, mechanic, horse trainer, whatsoever you do, preacher, worship leader, playing a guitar, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of your reward of God you will receive your reward. Walk worthy of it. Walk worthy of your calling. One thing I've always tried to teach my kids is this: whatever you do, if it's cutting hair at the barbershop, if it's frying chicken patties at Chick-fil-A, if it's playing drums or bass at the church, whatever it is, Show up early. Can I tell you something? Show up early. Show up early. Walk worthy is my calling. It's what God's given me to do. It's how I support my family. It's how I make a living. Show up early. We live in this world that, you know, show up early, stay late. Don't be whining about it. I don't want to hear your whining. Nobody wants to hear your whining. Everybody's got a whine. Come on, somebody. Nobody wants to hear your griping. Nobody wants to hear your whining. Nobody wants to hear how bad you've got it, how mistreated you are, how bad your life is. You know, we're all there. Can I hear a good amen? Shut up. Can I just say that in a loving manner? Speak the truth in love. Shut up. Show up. Show up early and stay late. That's what I've tried to teach my kids. And you know what? Do more than it's expected. Do more than what's expected. We live in this world that go, this is the line. This is what's expected of me. I'm doing this, and absolutely nothing more. But yet in the end, I want the greatest results and I want the biggest benefits. If you want the biggest benefits and you want to see God move in your life, show up and do more than is expected of you. Do more than it's expected of you. And last thing is this, work harder than anybody else. You may not be the prettiest. You may not be the most handsome. You may not be the most skilled. You may not have it all figured out. But the one thing I've tried to teach my kids is this, work harder than anybody else. Give more than you've got. Grind. Conrad, come help me close this thing down, please. Good leaders push. And here's what I want to say to you today. You need to be pushed, Jake. Leanne, you need to be pushed. Stanley Hartmans, you need to be pushed. Farnsworth, you need to be pushed. Will, you need to be pushed. Alex, you need to be pushed. Arville, you need to be pushed. No matter your age, you need to be pushed, Doc. You need to be pushed, Doc Veterinarian. Larry Lyle, you need to be pushed. You need to be pushed, James, because we all have a tendency. Jared, you need to be pushed. Move beyond yourself. Move beyond your feelings. Move beyond where you are and allow yourself to be pushed. Because where you are is not where God wants you to stay. Can I hear a good amen? And if somebody doesn't come along and spiritually kick you in the butt, you'll sit right where you are in a comfortable place living life. Push! You need to be pushed. I need to be pushed. Because let me tell you, I have not reached my potential in Jesus Christ. I ain't reached my potential. There's a lot more out there. There's a lot more for Bethel. There's a lot more for my family. There's a lot more for Cody. There's a lot more out there. And I don't want to be sitting still. I want to push forward and receive everything God has for me. And for some of you, you need to quit trying to make everybody happy and pacify everybody. Because you've taken this position, I'm not going to push my friends, I'm not going to push my family, because I don't want to be labeled as the one that's insensitive. I don't want to be labeled. No. You need to push others around you. Now let me say this right quick. You need to learn the art of pushing. You need to have some discernment because there's some people you can only push so far. Can I hear a good amen? Let me tell you about my sons right quick. What time is it? I got time. I coached both of my boys in basketball. I coached Jesse and Will played basketball. Let me tell you about them. Will, you just talk straight to Will. You go, Will, look, dude, you ain't doing right. You ain't pushing yourself, man. If you ever got a little bit loud or you ever got in Will's face, he'd shut her off. His ears would close. He wouldn't hear nothing you said. Yet I'd learn, you got to push him a certain way. Now, this little peckerwood on the base back here, you better get in his face and you better go, Jesse Pate, you know you ain't doing right. Now, suck it up, boy. I'm going to kick your tail. And so I had to learn. Push that one a little bit, push that one a whole lot. We have to learn. I'm going to push people. But I have to have some discernment from the Holy Spirit of how much I can push each person in my life. Allow ourselves to be pushed and then push others. Because there's a calling on your life. Say it again, there's a calling on your life. There's a calling. You're a world changer. You're a holy person. You're peculiar. You've been called out of the darkness into the glorious gospel light. You're sons and daughters of God. You've been anointed with the Spirit of God. You were called to be salt and light and to change the world. Walk worthy in that calling. Walk it out. Make that calling a priority in your life. Man or woman of God first, husband or wife second, father or mother third, friend fourth, and then your vocation. Walk worthy of that calling. Stand on your feet and we'll close with prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for today and for this moment and for every person that's here. Challenge us and speak to us today. Push us, Holy Spirit. Push us as we submit our spirits to you and we allow ourselves to be pushed. When we're pushed by you, Lord, or pushed by others, don't let us be offended. Are so sensitive, let us push and realize we don't have it all figured out. We need to be pushed to be better. As you push us, help us push others gently with the discernment of the Holy Spirit, and then let us walk worthy of the calling that's been placed on our life. Speak to us, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, let's close with a song of worship.